Boston's home for sports.
The Sports Hub.
Time to discuss what will make fans happy today, presented by BetterHelp. Build your playbook for more sustainable happiness with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Sign up now for 10% off your first month at BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/New England. Let's welcome in Bert Breer of the MMQB, Sports Illustrated. We'll talk about what it is that will make fans happy today, including the play of maybe Mac Jones and his favorite receiver, Jacoby Myers. Bert, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're okay. Getting ready for some real football. Football that counts today in the NFL. Bert, I know I've talked to you so much already in the month of August about this Patriots season and Mac Jones, but a guy we have not spent a ton of time talking about is Jacoby Myers as it relates to this offense. Do you think we'll see a repeat of last year where Jacoby Myers is the security blanket for Mac Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of like that is going to – so much of the offense has baked in like who the quarterback trusts. And, you know, I would have thought that like Kendrick Bourne was going that way and that we were seeing Kendrick Bourne sort of become that guy at the end of last year. But then based on how camp has gone, you would think that maybe that's reverted now. And, I mean, Nelson Aguilar's taken steps. Jonnu Smith's taken steps. But, you know, Jacoby Myers seems to be the one that has the best, you know, sort of chemistry with the quarterback outside of probably Hunter Henry in the red zone. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, if you're talking about sort of breaking in new concepts and working with a new play caller, I think, you know, the people that Mac trusts are going to be the people that he leans on. Jacoby Myers certainly in that category.
Bert, you do this exercise where you poll people in the league about quarterbacks, and I thought it was interesting. You released this on SI this week, and I found the poll, honestly, sort of, you know, fascinating. Patrick Mahomes at the top wasn't surprising to me. But what was surprising to me, in all seriousness, it appears that Mac Jones didn't get any votes here. And you went through about 12 quarterbacks, you know, that got votes. There was a tie for 12th between Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa. Any idea in your mind, and were you surprised in terms of Mac Jones not getting any votes for this?
Not really. I mean, I was surprised Tua did get a vote. I wasn't surprised Trevor Lawrence did. You know, in full disclosure, like Tua, he was only mentioned by the one person who voted for him. Trevor actually got mentioned from different people. Like a few different people mentioned Trevor Lawrence and said, I wanted to put him in. I just, like at the end, like there were too many good quarterbacks in the mix to put him up there. But you know, I certainly think that like Trevor Lawrence is in a different category than the other guys in the 2021 class, just as far as how the league views his potential. And yeah, I mean, the idea of the list, Chris, is really to sort of separate the elite, you know, and the way we do it every year is give me your top five at the end of the season. So it's supposed to project to the end of the year, and generally you get more interesting answers that way. And yeah, I mean, I certainly think that it's, you know, guys like Mac Jones are generally in the mix. Like you'll hear a name or two of a young guy who maybe hasn't come up yet, and so like, but because it's top five, it sort of separates, where it's like the idea here is to just rank the elite, and Mac, you know, obviously wasn't part of that group this year.
But Derek Carr was ninth in this poll. And yep. Derek Carr has Josh McDaniels, so I wonder if Mac would have been in it.
Yeah, I think that that's a part of it too. I mean, Chris, that's definitely a part of it. You know, is like what is the surroundings of the quarterback, and that's I think why Trevor Lawrence got the support he did, because people look at Trevor Lawrence, and it's not that he's got a great situation last year, but they're saying he had a really bad situation last year, and that's going to get better, and so he should get better, right? Like, and so, you know, you look up towards the upper reaches of the list. Justin Herbert was fourth. Well, part of that is he's surrounded by Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and, you know, Josh Palmer has had a really strong training camp for them, and he's in year two playing in Joe Lombardi's offense. So, you know, I think a huge part of it is surroundings, and there's no question, like, when you look at Derek Carr, it's sort of a summation of he was really good last year in an adverse situation with so much going on there, between the head coach getting fired, between the Henry Ruggs thing, the Damon Arnett thing, and he got them to the playoffs. And now you're adding Josh McDaniels as his play caller and Devontae Adams as his number one receiver. And yeah, I mean, I think people maybe expect the best year that we've seen from Derek Carr this year because of his surroundings. And, you know, again, like a huge part of that is respect, you know, people in the league have for Josh.
You just mentioned Devontae Adams. Let's talk about another Devontae. Devontae Parker, big offseason acquisition for the Patriots. It hasn't been talked about all that much this preseason, and I think just because the Dolphins traded him away, there might be a thought, you know, around the league that this guy is not what he once was. What do people think in the league and in football about Devontae Parker and what he might give the Patriots?
Yeah, he doesn't fit everywhere, Beadle. I mean, you need a quarterback who's pretty accurate because he is not going to separate a bunch, you know, and he's sort of one of these big body receivers who's going to come down with the ball in traffic. And so, you know, in that respect, I think Mac could wind up being a pretty good fit for him. But you know, he had the injury issues. He's not overly explosive. He's not a number one. So he's sort of, I think this specific role, you have to have a specific role for him in the offense. And I think the Patriots do have that because it's been, you know, what they've been trying to do for N'Keal Harry over the last 3 years. And like, that's the thing about it, guys, is it's sort of another example of where, you know, they make a mistake in the draft. And then they're doubling back and having to not only give up a draft pick, but, you know, pay a guy at a relatively high level to come in and replace the failed draft pick, you know, and that's why they're so close to the cap. You know, you hear a lot about their cap situation. Well, a huge reason why their cap situation is what it is because you strike out on draft picks and then you wind up having to spend $4, $6, $8, $10 million to replace a guy who you wanted to start for you, who might have been making $2 or $3 million. So, that's sort of like, I think why Devontae Parker is here is because they had sort of carved out that role in their offense for N'Keal Harry and it didn't work out.
I want to pivot to another game, a game that will be on 98.5 later tonight, your Dallas Cowboys versus Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just curious, you know, what are you hearing on Brady these days? It sounds like there are maybe some off the field issues or distractions. You know, what is his preparedness and his readiness for this 23rd season in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I could just tell you, like, I think having been down there a couple weeks ago and knowing some of the guys down there, they aren't worried that he's going to be prepared. Like, he's looked fine in camp. He should have a good group around him. Barring like a lot of guys getting old all at once, which could happen because there's age on that team. You know, Ryan Jensen's already gone down. Chris Godwin's coming off the knee. Mike Evans is older. Julio Jones is older. Leonard Fournette's older for his position. So, you know, that's certainly possible. But I don't think anybody's seen like some sort of fall off in his play. That said, I mean, Chris, you've been around him as long as I have. I've never heard him talk this way. You know what I mean? Like the tone, the way he's answering questions, the way he's talking about the end. I think that there's like sort of a different feel to him right now. And you do sort of wonder, just because of where the Bucs were in February and March and what they had to do to get him back, you know, you sort of wonder if there is some lingering strain in the relationship from what happened back in January and February and March. Because I really think, like, he thought, like, that the Bucs might do him a solid the way that, you know, the Patriots did Rob Gronkowski a solid a couple years before and say, well, if you don't want to be here, you got us a championship. We're going to help facilitate you going somewhere else. You know, instead of doing that, the Bucs drew a very strong line and a very clear line in the sand and said, well, if you're going to play anywhere, it's going to be here. It's not going to be in Miami. It's not going to be in San Francisco. It's going to be here. And so you do wonder if, because there's that background and because the 6 to 8 weeks where he retired, then unretired, went the way that they did, if there's still some stuff that they have to work through there. It'll be interesting to watch what happens if they hit a rough patch early in the year.
Bert, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the games.
And by the way, special thanks to you guys for helping me fight through with my voice. I apologize for that. I do sound a little hoarse right now.
A little?
A little.
All right. All right. Bert, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, Bert.